Bibles this evening to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we're also going to be looking at 1 John, and I have a lot of passages in Scripture that I'll be looking at tonight. But if you keep your finger in those two places, I think you'll be fine. I'm going to read a lot of Scripture myself. It is definitely this time of year around Fairhaven, candy selling time. And two things that kind of stood out to me tonight. One was as I was walking up here to come preach, somebody hands me a check and some money for candy sale, so you know it's candy selling time that way. And the other way is when you go having family devotions and you ask one of your kids to pray. And it comes out, "Hello, sir, would you like to buy?" And then usually about that time they catch themselves. Anyway, it's a busy time of year. We have some young people off the bus routes here tonight, more than normal. And so we're going to be, I don't know about if I'm going to keep them awake or not, but I'm going to try, and all the rest of us as well. So John chapter 8, we're going to be looking at verse number 12, John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." This verse comes right after the woman who was taken in wicked sin, and her accusers brought her before Christ, and of course Jesus stoops down and writes on the ground, and then he said, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And as soon as they all walk away, he says to the woman, "Go and sin no more." And then he says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, shall not continue in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And then 1 John chapter 1, I'll read one verse of this passage for now, and then I'll add some more later. This then, verse number 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God is light. That's the name, the title of my message tonight. John wraps up his time with Jesus. John spent a lot of time with Jesus. In fact, John probably knew Jesus better than any other human being. The Bible describes John as the disciple who leaned on Jesus' breast. He was close to Christ. John saw more of Jesus in his human state and then also in his divine state at the Transfiguration. John knew Jesus well. And if John said this, if there's anything that wraps up the message of Christ, it is simply this: God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so we're going to be looking at this idea tonight. God is light. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have here to be in church. Lord, there's a lot of people in this church who tonight need to hear from you. And I pray that you'd help us. Help me and give me the words to say. Lord, I pray that you'll use your word to speak to our hearts this evening. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What is light? What is light? I was reading a number of Bible verses months ago, and even longer than that, thinking about this idea of light. One science website that I read said that when the universe was 0.00001 seconds old, some things combined to form protons and neutrons. Well, okay, that sounds interesting. When the universe was 0.01 seconds old, then those protons and neutrons began to organize into atoms. Well, I don't know about that, but I do know in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It was that simple. And then they said, finally, when the universe was about 380,000 years old, photons broke free and light streamed. Okay, yeah. You were there to see that, of course. But so that's not where light comes from. We're going to see that what God says about that. What is light? Light is the electromagnetic radiation that can be detected by the human eye. I remember learning this a long time ago when I was in school, and I relearned that there's actually a large part of the color spectrum that our eyes can't see. And I think someday when we get to heaven, we'll see more of that. The Bible describes what heaven is like in the book of Ezekiel. We'll read that in a little bit. Light can be described in terms of a stream of photons, massless packets of energy. Light is energy. I didn't count all the light bulbs in this auditorium, but I counted a few, and there's over several hundred for sure, just light bulbs here in this auditorium. We take our lights very seriously. But it's energy. And these light waves travel with wave-like properties, of course, at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second approximately. In simple terms, light is a type of energy that makes it possible for us to see the world around us. And that's what light is. It's energy. And as I read this, I'm convinced more than ever that physically, actual light is in heaven, and of course that the presence and the glory of God brings great light. And we'll see some verses, some passages about that in a minute. I have a unique perspective on light. This is the kind of light that we used when I was a kid. No, I'm not 100 years old. Some of these little kids probably think, wow, you know, Abraham Lincoln used that too. Yes, he probably did. But anyway, so this type of a light, I didn't bring my matches because, I'm told not to use matches in here. But this kind of light was the type of light that we used. Of course, it doesn't put out a huge amount of light. A very small amount. I remember always as a child, you know, we had those type of Coleman lanterns, maybe that you go camping with. And those were the bright lights. I mean, we'd hang those, we'd have a hook there in the house, and we'd hang that up to provide the bright light. But when you need to sit at the chair and read, you'd have one of these smaller lamps. And as I think about that, you know, the Bible is a light unto our path, a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. Fire. You know, there's a lot in the Bible about light. And tonight I want to share some of that with you, and then we'll bring out some application there at the end. I grew up, of course, in a home without electricity, as I mentioned. We were in school. I remember very clearly our family was leaving the Amish, and I was probably about 7.5, 8 years old. We were in school at Edith Hahn's family's house. Her dad was my teacher. And I'll never forget when the electric company came out to our house, or to their house, and they turned on the electricity. And they, in their house, they had these old type of switches that you had to push the buttons, different buttons, to get it to come on or go off. And I'll never forget for the first time seeing those light bulbs come on in their house. I remember our first van that we bought. My dad was, of course, almost 40 years old, just getting his license. And so we had this old van, and you could, the van lights on the front, sometimes they'd go off all by themselves. You know, the van had a short in it or something. But they had this little foot pedal down on the left side, a little button that you put your foot over and step on, and the lights would go up on bright or they'd go on dim. And we were little kids. Wow, look at that. Look at those lights. To this day, I love bright lights. I don't like dark houses or dark rooms. I want to be able to see. You know, we had a another vehicle. I think it was, I'm trying to find out for sure, but I think it's a 1972 Grand Torino station wagon that we had. Big, beautiful, ugly thing. Really, really ugly. But we thought it was great. We could get our whole family in that thing. It had seats in the back that faced out the back. And we'd get our whole family in there, pack everybody in there. We'd come home from church. And it was park the car, and all the kids make a beeline for the house. And we'd run through flipping on all the light switches because we wanted to see those bright lights. Honestly, that's what we did for quite a while. Listen, electricity, you take it for granted. I hope I never take it for granted and all the lights. But the Bible has a lot to say about lights. I better move this lamp before I do something to it. Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light. Genesis 1:14, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. James 1:17 has an interesting passage, an interesting phrase. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. He's the Father of lights. There's something special about the light that God gives to us. He created it for us to enjoy. Revelation 22:5, you knew I was coming to this one if you're thinking ahead. There shall be no night there. It's talking about in that glorious city of heaven. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Paul saw the glory of God. Of course, in Acts chapter 9, he's traveling on the road to Damascus. You know, you kids know the story. And he sees a bright light shining from heaven, and he's knocked off of his horse, and he hears that voice speak to him. But when he recounts the story in Acts chapter 26, he's retelling the story, I believe, to King Agrippa, and he said, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, you ready for this? Above the brightness of the sun. Now, I can't imagine something brighter than the sun. I've looked at the sun a few times, right? Hopefully it was with sunglasses or with something very strong, protective. But the greater than the brightness of the sun, that is the glory of our God. I can't even fathom that. And someday we'll see that. Take a moment this evening to think about our sun. We tend to take it for granted because it's there every day. Our local star is about 93 million miles away. It's about 864,000 miles across. About 1 million, they tell us, about 1 million of our Earths could fit into the sun. It's very hot. At the core of the sun, they believe, and I don't know how trustworthy these numbers are, but 28 million degrees hot in the middle of the sun. Without the heat and the light of the sun, life as we know, of course, would not exist on the earth. The sun is essential. It's amazing, but it's true also that the real light of the world is even more essential and more amazing than the sun. Listen, the author of light. I want to talk about three things tonight. First of all, the author of light. The light of the world. Jesus is the light of life. John chapter 8 verse 12 tells us. You know, the glory of God, as I mentioned, is physically bright. Ezekiel chapter 1 verses 27 and 28. And again, I'll read a lot of scripture, but I'll keep moving. Ezekiel says in his vision, this is his vision of him seeing the glory of God and getting a message from the Lord. And he says, I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had the brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow, the rainbow, that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Bright. Ezekiel 10:4 again, he says, then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. David said in 2 Samuel 22:13, through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. Listen, the presence of God kindles fire. It's that bright. Luke and Matthew remind us how desperately people need the light of life. Just months before Jesus was born, the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias, Luke chapter 1, verse 79, said this, that Jesus would give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He knew that Jesus was coming. Sorry, John the Baptist was coming, would give light to them that sit in darkness in the shadow of death. I think he actually was talking about Jesus there. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 says this about Jesus. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. Man, I remember when I came to that light myself. The understanding of my sin. I was a teenager. I was actually younger than that when I first came to that understanding. But man, that conviction and that light that shone on me. I love the story of Pilgrim's Progress. And when he came to the cross and he understood, that light understanding came to his mind. You know, everybody desperately needs Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. By the way, John himself has 10 different references to darkness and light. It's kind of funny. I told my wife he was obsessed with light and the opposite, darkness. So in the book of John and in the book of 1 John, let me read to you a few verses from John chapter 1, verse number 4. Bible tells us there, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Man, the light came to the darkness, and the darkness, that word comprehend, means that it had to flee. It had to move. There was a man, verse 6, sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John the Baptist wasn't the light. But he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And I'll try to move quickly. The brightness of the light brings the glory of God out. Of course, on the Mount of Transfiguration, there Peter, James, and John saw Jesus in his glory. And what happened? His face was shining. Moses and Joshua on top of Mount Sinai, they saw the face of Jesus, Moses actually saw the hinder part of God, and the glory was so bright that he couldn't see the face of God. It was so bright. And he came back down, his face was glowing from the physical brightness of that light. What would the world be like without the sun? Right? It'd be a cold, dark, dead, aimlessly wandering about the universe. No hope of having any life. You know, that's exactly what people are like without the Lord. Wandering, dead, looking for an answer. Listen, there's all kinds of folks that come here on Sunday mornings and they are looking for an answer. I remember when I was looking for an answer. Many of you do, as well. We heard a testimony during the fall push. Brother Brock Fletcher, his testimony. Listen, people are looking for an answer. And until they get the Lord, they're going to be wandering and looking and searching. And you won't find that. Young people, you're not going to find the satisfaction you want anywhere else. You won't find it in the things of this world. You won't find it. I used this example in my Sunday school this morning that the world always leaves you wanting more. You always want more. You never get satisfied. When I use this example, when I go to Longhorn Steakhouse and I sit down and I get my meal and I get a steak and I get potatoes with all the fixings and I get, you know, all the other things that come with it. When I get up from that table, I expect to be full. I expect to leave satisfied. If I don't leave satisfied, something's wrong, right? I'm going to leave satisfied, but the world doesn't leave us that way. You always need more. When you take some drugs, you need more. When you smoke, you need more. It never leaves you enough. When the Bible says the eyes of man are never satisfied, you look at pornography and it'll leave you wanting more. Jesus doesn't do that. He satisfies you. And John's assessment, I just love this idea, 1 John 1:5. This then is the message. John's assessment of seeing Jesus live his life, and he says, God is light. Jesus is God, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. No darkness, that's a negative. At all, double negative. He makes sure that everybody realizes there's not one bit of darkness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Now, I tried this. You might not want to try it too much, but I looked at a light bulb. And I was thinking, you know, okay, so is there any bit of darkness even in a light bulb? And there is. There most definitely is. But not in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one blight of darkness. A number of years ago, there was the news or the word or whatever got out that the planet Venus was going to be crossing between us and the sun. And so I remember I wanted to see this thing, and I don't remember. There was like an hour of time where you could see it, if I remember right. So I went to Mr. Leslie's shop, and I already told him now, so now he knows I was in there. I got one of his welding masks. And I said, I want to see this thing crossing the sun. And I remember I went out right outside the shop, and I just put this thing on, and I looked at the sun. And of course, I couldn't see a thing. The sun was pretty bright still. I'm looking, trying to find it, and I had to stand there for about a half a minute and let my eyes focus. And all of a sudden, there's this slightest little disc. It looked like a disc that's right there towards the left side. I remember it very clearly. On the left side of the sun, there's this disc. I looked at it about 20 minutes later, and it had moved. It was clearly Venus. Even in the sun, and looking at it, there's this one little blight, another planet, crossing that surface. And it just makes me think, you know, everywhere you go, even in the sun, there's a little bit of darkness. But the Son of God, right? The Son of God, there's no darkness. And John says this as a person with authority. He watched Jesus. He lived with Jesus. He got up in the morning with Jesus, and he laid his head down at night with Jesus there camping out with him, or whatever they were, you know, where they would sleep. He saw Jesus live his life, and he said about Jesus, there's no darkness at all in him. He's a perfect Son of God. What a blessing. So next I want to look at the meaning of spiritual life. The meaning of light. The meaning of spiritual light. 1 John 1:5, if you're there, God is light. It doesn't say God is a light or God is the light. God is light itself. I declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Darkness in Scripture is always a picture of sin, or almost always. Darkness is a picture of sin. When a person walks in darkness, that means they're continuing to walk in darkness, they're progressing in their sin, and it's a picture of sin. And John warns us, and John and in 1 John again, and Jesus warns us, and others as well, that we're not to walk in darkness. Darkness is a picture of sin. Light, on the other hand, is a symbol of purity, of truth. Of knowledge of righteousness. And so God, being light, he is perfectly pure with no mixture of sin whatsoever. He is perfect knowledge. Perfect knowledge. Boy, I wish I had perfect knowledge. Without any mixture of ignorance. He is infinitely true, never stating or countenancing any kind of error. Listen, when things come into our lives, right now we have a lot of folks in our church who are going through a real time of sickness. and a lot of bad health and things. Listen, when that happens, you have to realize that there's no error, there's no mistake, there's nothing that's not perfect with God. And God will take care of his own. He is perfect in every way. The meaning of spiritual life is that God is perfect. The Bible has a lot of other passages where it talks about God being light. Let me turn over to Matthew chapter 5 real quick. Matthew chapter 5. Verse number 14. We'll read down through verse 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see, here it is, your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The light of Christ should be so bright in our lives that people know it's not from us. It's really coming from God. It is God through me. Listen, the song we sang, we're a channel. When we have God's glory shining in us, man, we better never try to claim that for ourselves. It doesn't belong to us. The glory of God shining through us is so great, people ought to see God in us. That's what light really is. It's perfect understanding, perfect purity of God himself. That is the God that we serve. Now, understanding that, let me get to the application in my third point. The expectation of spiritual light. The expectation of spiritual light. I'm going to give you four things that I think light, not that I think, that the Bible tells us that light does for us. First of all, light directs us to see God's salvation. Light directs us to see God's salvation. When I got saved, it's because the light of God shined in me, convicting me, pointing me to Jesus Christ. When you got saved, the same thing happened to you. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Boy, I was in great darkness. My parents were even in greater darkness in some ways. They had lived a good part of their life in great darkness, the darkness of religion without Christ, right? Religion without Christ, you might be close to Christ in some ways, but you're so far away that it's darkness. Listen, they were saved out of that darkness, and so were we, so was I. Let the light of the glorious gospel shine unto them. Joseph and Mary took baby Jesus to the temple. And Simeon met them at the temple. And Simeon says that Jesus would be a light to lighten the Gentiles. That's you and I. The light shined to the Gentiles. And Simeon recognized that. That God wanted his light to shine to the Gentiles. Just a few days before Jesus went to the cross, he was coming to Jerusalem. And he told the people, he said in John chapter 12, verse 35 and 36, he said, yet a little while, just a little while, is the light with you. Referring to himself. Then he said this, walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Man, I just am so thankful for my understanding being open to the truth. And I look around at a bunch of other folks who are just like me. Praise the Lord for that. There was an astronaut, Jim Lovell. He was actually also a fighter pilot I'm pretty sure it was World War II. Told about one of the most frightening times in his life. He was returning from a combat mission. He couldn't find his aircraft carrier. It was night, the carrier lights were off, because of the combat conditions, and Jim's navigation equipment was under total radio silence. He desperately turned on his map light to see if he could calculate his position, but an electrical short made all the lights on the plane go out. It was then that he saw it in the darkness down below in the water. There was an eerie glow in the water. Jim knew that it was the glow of tiny sea plankton that when a ship went by, these plankton were stirred up and they created light. And he said it was just like he was following a path to the aircraft carrier. He would have never made it back to the ship without that God-given light. And you know what? There's a light provided for us as well to guide us to salvation. And if you're saved here tonight, you've been guided to salvation by that light. If you're not saved tonight, listen, there's a lot of people can help you, but ultimately it's the Lord that'll guide you to himself. Light directs us to see God in his salvation. Light also leads us to live in holiness and purity. Light leads us to walk in holiness and purity. And this is the main focus of a lot of passages in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul said this, "Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." That word walk there isn't a word that just means to take a step. Of course, taking a step isn't really walking. You know, with our little infants, mine were all about a year old when they started walking. But their first few steps weren't really walking, were they? It was at first a step, and then they'd stop and they'd look around, try to figure out how in the world they got out there all by themselves. And then they'd take another step, and before long, of course, they're walking. But walking is something that is a continuously done thing. So if a person walks in darkness, they are continuing in sin. But if a person walks in the light, they're continuing to walk, to move, to progress in that light. Continued sin is not allowed in the life of a believer who's walking in the light. That is the point of Paul in Ephesians. That is the point of John in 1 John. Listen, if you're going to walk in the light, you're going to put away known sin. Known sin is not allowed in the life of a believer who's walking in the light. Listen, I pointed out that Jesus is the light. As he walks with us and we're close to him in the light, we're not going to have sin continuing in our lives and we're walking with the light. We're going to put off those works of darkness, those works of sin. The idea of darkness is an idea of sin, and we put off that darkness. We can't have light and darkness at the same time in this room. We either have light or we have darkness. It's one or the other. It's the same way in our life with the Lord. 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk, that means continued sin and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Light is truth. Light is perfect truth, the light of God. We are liars. If we say, oh, I can continue in sin and just pretend to be a Christian. I can walk in the light and pretend and carry all this baggage, this darkness with me. You're lying to yourself. Listen, we lie and do not the truth. Listen to this passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. It's talking about the end times. It says this, "And then shall that wicked be revealed." I believe that's the Antichrist, the wicked, "whom the Lord shall consume." Are you ready for this? The Lord's going to consume the wicked one with the brightness of his coming. What does that tell me? It tells me that the presence of God, that glory of God, is enough to remove the darkness, remove the sin. Listen, if you're struggling with sin in your life, and if I'm struggling with sin, if I have a besetting sin, it's because I'm not close enough to Jesus. Don't blame others. Don't get mad at the authority. Well, it's so easy to turn and blame a lot of other people. But really, it's because you're not close enough to the light. Because the light burns off that sin. It destroys the wicked one. We need to be close to Jesus and let Him tell us what to do. Let that light from the Lord direct us. Jesus told Nicodemus, John chapter 3, this is the condemnation. Nicodemus, he told him the verse before, you're already condemned. Anybody who doesn't believe is already condemned. Here's the condemnation. You say, well, why am I condemned? Jesus said that light is come into the world. Light came into the world. Jesus came into the world. God Himself came into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why do we love sin? Why do we love that darkness? It's because we are in sin. It's because we love the darkness and our deeds are evil. Jesus said, you're condemned because of your darkness. Walking in the truth, embrace the truth in opposition to all these errors. Embrace the truth, embrace purity, embrace living a holy life. Listen, if you're living in secret sin, if you have secret sin, you are not walking in the light. You're not walking with the Lord. Secret sin is the opposite. I mean, it removes your fellowship with the Lord. You cannot walk in darkness and in secret sin. Thirdly, light directs us to fellowship in the family of God. Light directs us to fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, if you want to turn back there, it'd be great. Verse number 5, we'll read a couple verses here. This then is the message, John says, which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Wow, we have fellowship, sweet fellowship, the light, walking in truth, walking in purity. We have fellowship in the family of God. We can have fellowship with other believers as well as with our Father in heaven and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have fellowship because our sins are washed away. I have kindred spirit with those who are also believers. That's fellowship because we walk in the light together. Young man, you're interested in a young lady. Get close to the light. And the right person will meet you there. It's the way it works. Listen, walk in fellowship with the Lord. In John 12:36, Jesus said, why you have light? Believe in the light that you may be the children of light. Listen, you're not to walk in darkness, but walk in the light as children of light. You know, young people, there's a lot of different ages of folks in here tonight. As I think about this idea of fellowship. I think sometimes young people think that everybody else is against them. Everybody else is against you. And that's not true. That is the devil's lie to get you to rebel. Listen, we're not against you. Nobody's against me here. This is God's church, and the church of God is here for fellowship. And so there's, you know, the elderly statesmen in this church and women. There's the middle-aged families with teenagers. There's the young couples with young children and so on. And then there's the singles and there's the teenagers. Listen, we should all have fellowship together in the family of God. We're a church here to help one another and encourage one another. Listen, if you're walking in darkness, you're going to have trouble. If you're walking in sin, if you're allowing secret sin, you might think you're getting away with it, but that fellowship with the rest of the family of God isn't going to be there. Listen, are you walking in secret sin and that's keeping your fellowship from being there like it should? Stop resisting those who walk through life in the light of God with you. Lastly, light also directs us into his love. Love and light go together. Again, perfect light of God, the perfect light of God, is in perfect love. Love. 1 John 2, 9 through 11. You can turn over if you like. 1 John 2, 9 through 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. You're in darkness. You're in sin if you hate your brother. Oh, no, no. I'm close to the Lord, but they did. No. If you're walking in darkness and you're walking in sin, hating your brother, you're not walking in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. Listen, some people are just always looking for an excuse to stumble. Well, they did this to me, so I guess now I can't go soul winning. They did that, now I can't work on a bus route. Listen, you're looking for a stumbling block instead of keeping your eyes on the light. Keeping your eyes on the Lord. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Man, there's no greater love as far as this type of love than the love between believers in a church family, in a church body. It should be this way. God intends for it. Matthew chapter 5, again, I'll read this passage. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen, love for people, love for the saints. This is what walking in light brings you. Jesus, nobody in history loved as much as Jesus loved. Nobody. And if we're close to Jesus, it's going to be natural for us to love. Nobody loved like him. I remember many years ago, our church where we were a part of, our first pastor, he had a wife, I'm assuming, put up a bulletin board. And it said, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he stretched out his arms and he died. That's his love. What did Jesus do while he was on the earth? Constantly loving and giving and helping people. Days after days after days. Long hours. Tell his disciples, give ye them to eat. You know, keep serving, keep loving. If you get close to the light, it's natural to love people. Barrow, Alaska is located 330 miles north of the Arctic Circle. The sun goes down in Barrow on November 18th, and it doesn't come back up until January 23rd. We have some Alaskans in here. Can you imagine how glad those people are on January 24th when the sun finally comes back up, when they first see that light again? Man, what a excitement that must be. I heard about a man who lived near the North Pole during 3 months of darkness. He said this, he was hurting. He said, I ached and I hungered to see the dawn. He was desperate to see the light of the rising sun. He couldn't wait to see the light of the rising sun. How much more desperate are people to see the light of Christ shining through us? Desperate. They're in darkness. They're blinded. They don't know where they're going. And they're waiting on us to shine the light for them. You know, before we had electricity, we always carried a flashlight. And many, many times Dad would say, hey, shine the light over here. Shine the light over here. Listen, I can't help but think people are hoping, wishing that somebody would give them an answer. Shine the light over here when God is the light. Christians, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's us. And some of us are more peculiar than others, but that's all right. A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Marvelous, marvelous. It is a marvelous light. We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We've even been called the light of the world. Jesus said that. We're the light of the world, shining from him through us to the world, because we know the true light of the world. How about this song? I won't sing it. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light, walking in sunlight all of my journey. Listen, that's our life. Christian, will you walk in the light of the Lord? If you're hiding sin, get rid of it. You're walking in darkness. You're kidding yourself. You're lying to yourself. Walk in truth. Walk in honesty. Walk humbly before the Lord and before your fellow man. Be what God wants you to be instead of putting on that false light. Listen, the devil is a master of the false things. He even has a false light. He's called an angel of light. He's a deceiver. Young people, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived into falling for that false light. It's a confusing light, a darkness, really. Look for the true light of the Lord. That's Jesus Christ. Get close to him. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed.